Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap Podcast. I am Tyler Edward. Jeremy File not with us again today. And since he represents the U of M side, we're not going to talk about U of M all that much. So I'm sure our guest, Clifton Ryan, is going to enjoy that before we introduce him. Find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to previous shows. We had DeAndre Cobb on Saturday. We got Thomas Roy coming on tomorrow. But today, we are joined by former St. Louis Ram, former Michigan State Spartan, Clifton Ryan. Hey, how are you doing today?
Thanks for having me, Tyler. I didn't know my big brother T. Wright is coming on tomorrow. T. Wright was a senior my true freshman year, and he's still a big brother to me. I seen him at the Nebraska game, and he's a great guy.
Awesome. So, well, I look forward to that, but I'm obviously also looking forward to having you on. Look, obviously, this is Hate Week officially now. You know, we sat there and kind of disguised Hate Week as last week as well, just because of the bye that Michigan State had. Do you have any, like, memory that really stands out, a favorite memory in the history of this rivalry that you were involved in?
My first favorite memory of the rivalry, is watching Marvin Wright from my high school.
Who, by the way, we're going to have on Friday.
You going to have Marvin on Friday?
Yeah.
That's one of my heroes. He's from my high school. He won a state championship at my high school. He won a state runner-up. He's in the Saginaw County Sports Hall of Fame. He's in the Saginaw Arthur Hill High School Hall of Fame. That's one of my overall favorite people in life. So my first memory of the rivalry was watching him dominate at his safety position in the mid-90s. My second favorite memory of the rivalry is playing in the rivalry, even though we lost. Like, people don't understand, before D'Antonio got there, the talent gap in the losing margin was really close. We lost to him by a touchdown in 03, 04, and we lost to him by a field goal in 05. So we had some battles with those guys. But my favorite memory from my time playing there, I beat Ruben Riley out of Grand Rapids Christian for a set, and me and him went against each other on the Nike circuit in high school. So okay. We playing 2005 in Spartan Stadium. I didn't have an impact on the game because Michigan game plan to run away from me. I'm playing defensive end. I beat Ruben with a bull rush counter inside, sack Chad Henney. He fumbles. Domantas Peko picks up the ball and scores a touchdown. Michael Bazemore and Caleb Thornhill gave him two great blocks that sprung him open to run an amazing touchdown that ended up propelling his career to get drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals. He ended up playing 10-plus years in the league. That play forced overtime. We ended up losing in overtime. We missed some field goals. John Goss, thank you. But that's my favorite memory.
I remember that game because I was there. Mm-hmm. I was in the student section that game, and that was unequivocally the loudest I have ever heard Spartan Stadium.
That was a great play by me. People always remember Peko scoring a touchdown, but they forget who caused Peko to score the touchdown.
Yeah. That's the thing is, I always felt like you were a little underappreciated at Michigan State. I mean,
I was
not just a fan base thing. I thought you were a great player. You had obviously you had some time in the league. You were drafted by the Rams. Like I always thought, I was like, there is not a lot of talk about Clifton Ryan, and I think there should be.
And that's why I stayed away from campus for about 10-plus years.
Oh, yeah?
I felt like my career wasn't appreciated. So I just started back going to games this year.
Okay.
Because I felt like what I contributed to the university was not appreciated. I went to one bowl game in 5 years. I was highly recruited. I was nationally recruited. I chose to go there to play for Bobby Williams. He got fired. I ended up playing for John L. Smith. And the John L. Smith guys, just to be honest, we're lumped into this group as bad guys. But we're not. My entire defense played in the National Football League. We just didn't win games.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. Like, you sit there, I'm trying to think. Like, Eric Smith was a part of that, right?
Eric Smith, Ronald Stanley, David Herron, Kevin Bickerson, Brandon McKinney.
Yeah, all those guys spent some time in the league. Because I remember
Paco, myself.
Yeah, that was a very underappreciated defense from a talent perspective, definitely. I am, like, 100% right there with you because, I mean, like I said, man, I felt you were. I loved Eric Smith. I loved watching him play and his career with the Jets and, you know, being able to transition from safety to linebacker there. Like I always felt that the defense – because there were some shootouts that were involved, obviously. I always felt that the defense statistically didn't match up to the talent that I felt you guys had.
Well, it's hard to win games when you run a fast break offense in the Big Ten.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about that, because when you look at this year's defense – they're top 25 in yards per play. They're top 25 in a lot of stats outside of, you know, the sum of the numbers, the total yards per game and stuff like that. But yards per play, they're top 25. They're top 25 in scoring defense and all that type of stuff. How much does that type of offense hurt? Because this team is either boom or bust or three and out.
Can I be totally honest?
Yeah, absolutely.
Our skill players are overrated.
Okay.
Jalen Naylor and Reed, they're not that good. They can't get open. I've watched them in person. I watched them at the Miami game. I watched them against Nebraska. They cannot get open. We have a great quarterback. We have a great running back. But our skill guys, they cannot beat coverage. And if you look at every national champion in the modern era of football since the BCS into the modern playoff, they have skilled guys that can get open consistently. Yeah. We don't have that. And I'm just going to be honest, I think we're going to get exposed going forward unless those guys learn how to beat coverage. I played with Isaac Bruce. I played with Torrey Holt, Hall of Fame receivers.
Yeah.
I played with Charles Rogers, who's going to be in a College Football Hall of Fame. You have to get open. If not, you can't win. Because we're getting into the teeth of the schedule. And Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, they can put 8-9 in the box and play coverage. Oh. And Mr. Walker's a great running back.
Yeah.
But I watched Miami put 8-9 in the box and run blitz and kind of bottle them up a little bit. I watched Nebraska do the same thing. We scored 13 points on the road against Indiana.
Yeah.
13 points on the offense. That's not top 10 caliber. But no. When I say these things, people get upset and say, I'm bitter and I'm hating. No, I know the game. I dedicated my life to this game. So I know the game. I love my school, but I'm realistic. We're 7-0. But who have we beaten? We beat an overrated Miami team.
Yeah. that's where I got it. And that's the thing. Is like that's what Michigan and Michigan State fans just been shooting back and forth at each other. Oh, well, who have you beaten? Oh, well, who have you beaten? And like that's all you hear, at least from my perspective, because obviously, you know, you roll with like the athletes and the players who, you know, understand the game a lot more than us idiots who just talk about it. When you were talking, though, about the receivers, like I said, it's this team is either they appear to be three and out or they score on the first play of the drive.
They score on gimmick plays.
Yeah.
Re-fingers, reverse, fake returns. If we don't have a fake return against Nebraska, we lose. I'm there. Yeah. I'm sitting on the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
That's a gimmick play.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But how much does that, like I said, this is a top 25 defense. How much does that hurt the defense?
A lot. Because you get discouraged. Because as an offense, you have to sustain drives.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what killed us during my tenure at State. John L's offense never sustained drives. With Walker, we should be a ball control defense, offense. We have a great running back. But when we get in third and medium, third and long, our skill guys don't get open.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like some of the pressure, too, gets put on Peyton Thorne because the box gets loaded, and then all of a sudden, you know, you end up with a third and nine situation. It's easier to pin your ears back. You know what the offense is going to try to do, and it just makes things a lot easier for the opposing defense.
I had, Tyler, a meltdown at the Nebraska game. I'm sitting on the 50-yard line with some alumni who invited me to the game. And I'm surrounded by people who saying, throw the ball. You're holding the ball too long. I say, are you guys not watching the same game I'm watching? They can't get open. He's a great quarterback. Yeah. Prime example. Yeah. I watched the Indiana game on TV.
Right.
We got the turnover. He threw the fade to Naylor in the end zone. It got picked.
Oh, yeah, off of the strip sack.
He didn't even fight for the ball. If you watch that play again, he didn't even put up an effort to knock the ball down, to take the ball from the guy.
Jeez. I'm going to go back and look at that. I was just frustrated at the pick. Yeah. Yeah,
Those guys are front runners. Watch the play when Jalen Reed at the Miami game dropped the touchdown in the end zone and act like he was hurt. No, you're not hurt. You're mad. You're disappointed, and you're embarrassed because you dropped the ball in the end zone. But you're wearing number one that was worn by Andre Rison, that was worn by Charles Rogers. Live up to it or take it off. But when I talk like this, people get upset. I'm old school. I'm an old school Spartan.
Right.
I was brought up by T. Wright, Mike Lovinzo, Charles Rogers, Robert Smith. I know what it means to put that jersey on. I like Mel. I like his staff. I enjoy what they're doing. But it comes a time when the money games come up. That's what I used to call the Ohio State, the Michigan, the Wisconsin, the Penn State. Those are the money games. Those where you make yourself a living, because that's the film that the NFL scouts going to watch. They're not going to watch you against Western Kentucky. They're not going to watch you against Rutgers.
Right.
Because those guys are not playing on Sundays. You got to prove your worth against guys that's going to play on Sunday. Make sense?
Oh, absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense. Like, you sit there and you can watch like all the, 73-7 scrimmages against Eastern Michigan you want, but, I could tell that, when you watch Cook even fall, like Connor Cook fall down the draft boards, trying to figure out what happened, he didn't perform his best in some of those bigger games. He had a good defense to help him out. He still made plays from time to time.
Exposed against Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely.
Talik Calhoun went from a first round pick to a fourth round pick against Alabama.
Yeah,
I watched that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was I watched that game too. I tried to stomach it as long as I could too. We were talking about the defense a little bit, and we were talking about how sometimes the defense doesn't get the respect. I want to ask you about Jacob Panashu because his numbers.
He's a prime time player, buddy.
Yeah, because his numbers, and obviously you played the same position as him.
Whenever we need a big play, he gets it done, period.
Yeah. Have you seen the, like, midseason All-American stuff? Have you seen those types of things come out?
Sir. No, sir.
Okay. Jacob Panashu was on.
Okay.
Aiden Hutchinson was pretty much on everybody's first team, best defensive player in the country, blah, blah, blah type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Panashu's numbers are better than Hutchinson's through six games. Pinashuk missed one of them. And, you know, Hutchinson obviously has the advantage in games played based upon the fact that he played on Saturday. He's played in all seven. Talk about what you see in him, in Pinashuk, that makes him so special and to the point where he's able to outperform a guy who's a projected first-round pick.
He's a competitor. He competes. And he has a feel for the moment. Whenever we need a big play on defense, doesn't he create it?
Yeah, or he at least forces the quarterback into running into somebody else.
He lives for the moment. He makes big plays at the right time. But the biggest thing I love about him, he competes.
Yeah.
If our DBs competed like him, we wouldn't be last in the Big Ten in coverage. He's a competitor. I love it. I love watching him. And what I love about him, he makes big plays at the right time.
Yeah.
You can single-handedly give him credit for 2-3 wins we had this year.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because he made big plays in big moments to get us the ball back at the right time.
Yeah, and when you see these more mobile quarterbacks, he doesn't break his contain either. He does a good job keeping guys like Adrian Martinez bottled up, keeping guys like Derek King bottled up.
He doesn't create vertical creases so they can escape.
Right.
Most people don't understand that.
Yeah, and Martinez's big run against MSU was just, I mean, it, you know, you got to credit him a little bit because he slipped like 2 or 3 sacks.
I don't even want to talk about the Nebraska game. we really got exposed against Nebraska. I'm happy we won with the gimmick punt return, but I was disappointed in Mill for going for it on the opening drive on fourth down. Like, kick the field goal. What are we doing?
Yeah, this team, for what they're not able to, 3rd-and-2s, 4th-and-1s. They've just – I'm not sure what the deal is. Is it an offensive line thing?
It's a mindset. 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-1, even 3rd-and-3. You have to put in your heart as an old lineman, especially with that full-grown man at running back, that we're going to get this done. Because if you even open up the slightest hole, he falls down and gets 4 yards. True or false?
True.
So that's a mindset. That's a mindset that has to be created in that O-line room. But again, when I talk like this, I'm being too critical. But I played the game the right way. If I got a running back like Kenneth Walker, 3rd-and-4 should be a no-brainer. If you got the right top of 5 O-linemen and 1 or 2 tight ends that believe in him and believe in what you're teaching and have the mindset, we're going to open up a hole to get him these yards. Again, I played with good O-line. I played with Will Whitaker, who blocked for Brett Favre. I played with Kyle.
Who's going to be on Wednesday?
Huh?
Who's going to be on the show Wednesday?
Okay, you got some good people coming up. I played with Will Whitaker. Played for blocked for Brett Favre. I played with Kyle Cook. He played 6 years in the league.
Yeah, he played with the Bengals at center, right?
I played with Chris Morris, another good O-lineman.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what it takes. But we live in an era now, you can't be critical.
Yeah.
So a lot of things, I just bite my tongue. But to answer your original question, it's a mindset.
Talk about the the scheme on defense, because you said if
we play too much nail coverage. I hate it. We play too much zone. I hate it. And I know Mill wants to play man because he's a Nick Saban disciple, and Nick Saban plays man coverage. But I don't think he has the personnel to play man right now. Yeah. And that's another thing when I go to games I get frustrated with, because these fans are yelling and screaming. He's wide open. Yeah, he's wide open because they're playing zone. We're not playing much man.
Yeah.
So no, but I don't look at the game from a fan's perspective. When I watch games on TV and in person, I'm looking at it from a strategy perspective. And we're playing a lot of zone. We played zone the whole time against Miami. But when we played zone against Miami and Nebraska, the critical moments we got those INTs, the quarterbacks had got so comfortable with seeing certain things, our corners jumped those two routes and picked off those two passes to win us the game. That's what happened. But we play too much zone. I hate zone. We play a lot of zone. If you watch the game, we play a lot of bail zone. We show man, we show press, and the corners bail. Because I don't think he has the personnel that he wants to play man coverage. I mean, he coached under Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Those guys play man and they blitz.
Yeah.
And when they're not blitzing, they believe in getting the four-man rush. I don't think we have the proper D-line right now to get the four-man rush that he wants either. That's just my opinion.
Hey, well, your opinion's valued, man. I mean, there's a reason we have players on our show. You know what I mean? Because you can have me and my buddy just sit there and talk about Michigan this, Michigan State that, but when it comes down to it, the players know more than us. You guys were the ones who played at that level. You know, my buddy played Division I basketball. So, I mean, we talked to him about basketball. And so that's how we I think that's kind of what sets us apart from these other cheap podcasts. You know what I mean? But, we reach for the stars with you guys. And so we appreciate y'all coming on. You know, these bye weeks are obviously important in today's game, but what's it like to have a bye week before a game such as Michigan?
It gives you a chance to reset. But it's different because, I'm just going to be honest with you, the game is not as demanding as when I played. You know, I played for John L. Smith. He had us in full pads all year round. Oof. They don't even do that anymore. They don't do two-a-days anymore. We did two-a-days. So it's different, but going into this game after bye week, it gives you a chance to reset. It gives you a chance as a coaching staff to self-scout, to work, to realize what works and what's not working, what direction we should move in. As players, it gives you rest mentally, physically, psychologically, and emotionally. And it gives you a chance to realize that we're close. We're 7-0. If we really dedicate ourselves to being a band of brothers and get things done, we might be in a consideration to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, and look, one of the things that me and Jeremy have talked about, you know, Michigan and Michigan State, number 6, number 7, respectively, and we don't think they're that good yet.
We think
the talent is there for Michigan State to grow because it is a relatively young team. There are some spots that are a little more seasoned, but we think that this is good for, you know, their mindset for the younger kids. But yeah, we don't think they're there right now. But
we're going to watch two of the worst 7-0 teams in college football history. Period. They're not that good.
That's fair.
Neither one of them played anybody.
Yeah.
Michigan overrated Wisconsin team.
Yep.
And we beat an overrated Miami team.
Mm-hmm.
They just lost to Virginia. There's no for basketball. Tony Bennett.
Right.
Apologies to my good friend Chris Long and my good friend Marcus Hagins, who coaches receivers out there and played football for Virginia, but they're not that good.
Yeah. Well, I think the entire ACC is trash, if you're being honest.
They were hanging on their hat on Clemson for years.
Yeah, it was Clemson and nobody else.
But now Clemson is a nobody.
Before I let you go, man, we got to get the prediction. You know what you got going down on Saturday.
I love my school. I love Mel Tucker, but in college football, teams that have the best DBs and the best receivers win. I got to go with Michigan.
Even though Michigan lost two of their receivers due to injury.
Our receivers can get open. I've seen it in person.
Yeah.
They only get open on a flea flicker in Indiana. Stop that. We ran that same flea flicker that was almost picked off.
Yeah.
Right?
No, you're exactly right. I saw that coming. I was like, you know, one of these times someone's going to get one. Indiana just missed.
I mean, I'm not a Michigan guy. I could have went to Michigan. Lloyd recruited me. He cursed me out when I chose state. It's just I judge football on talent. And we don't have the skill guys to compete with Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan right now. We have a great quarterback.
Right.
But our guys cannot consistently get open to help them. We have a great running back. Jalen Naylor and Reed should be on pace for 1,000 yards apiece with the running back they're playing with. Period.
Yeah.
Do either one of them have 500 yards receiving right now?
Don't think so. I think they might both be under 400.
You just said a lot. Yeah. You playing with a running back that has nearly 1,000 yards in 7 games, and you don't have 500 yards receiving?
Man.
Making sense?
Oh, man. Dude, it makes sense to me. It makes sense to me. I'm with you 100%, dude. Like, I feel like that they should do more, you know, between the 20s and not just, like I said, those home runs. You know,
they score off gimmick plays, double reverses, toss passes. No, we have a hit. People don't even understand. We have a history of great receivers. Courtney Hawkins, Mark Ingram, Andre Rison, Gene Washington, Charles Rogers.
Plaxico.
Live up to it. You guys do all this talking through the media, all this social media posting. You're front runners. And it makes me sick because I watch you guys. You can't win a 50-50 ball. Most people don't even know what a 50-50 ball is. That's when Peyton Thorne throws a ball and it's a 50% chance our receiver is going to catch it or a 50% chance the DB is going to catch it. You won't even fight for them. And that's what happened against Indiana. He threw a 50-50 ball in the end zone after a turnover. They try to put the nail in the coffin, and you let a guy take the ball from you, from Indiana. So what's going to happen when you play Joey Porter from Penn State? A second-generation Division I athlete. Daddy played in the NFL. Was all pro.
Coaching in the NFL.
You said it,
yeah.
I didn't. But you guys are supposed to be great. But when I talk like this, oh, he's another bitter Spartan. He's mad. No, I'm not. I know the game. I got drafted off a team that went 4-8 my senior year. It was a starter in the National Football League. I have no reason to be bitter.
Yeah.
Captain in the NFL. Was a two-time captain at Michigan State. Have no reason to be bitter. I just don't live on Fantasy Island. I don't live in fandom. I live in real life.
Yeah.
And we have a great quarterback and a great running back, but our best receiver, and he's not even a receiver, is our ace bat, Cameron Hayward. That's his name, right? Cameron Hayward, 11?
Connor Hayward.
Cameron is his brother that plays in the NFL.
Yeah, plays for Pittsburgh, yep.
The dad is Craig Ironhead Hayward. Rest in peace. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Dude, I was always one of my favorite players growing up because everyone just kept talking about how he had to have custom helmets.
Well,
And
you know
when
I
I
got a big
was
head too.
no,
Who you score?
when I was a kid, I used to have to buy the adult helmets in middle school. Like I got a
When I was a
monster
kid, I
pad.
had to do the same thing. When I was in seventh grade, I practiced for 2 weeks without a helmet. They had a customer order me a helmet. But it paid off.
You made a living out of the NFL, dude. Do you know
I
and
had to, man. John L. Smith sent me and my guys through hell. I had to leave Michigan State with something to show for it. John L. Smith was the worst hire in NFL athletics history.
Oh,
And if you don't believe me, check the roster. He had a talented roster with tons of guys that went pro.
yeah.
Two of his quarterbacks went pro. Multiple guys on offense went pro. And his entire defense went pro.
Yeah,
If you
no,
don't believe me, check the record book.
No, I 100% agree with that. I was not a fan of the hire. I liked it at first just because he kind of tried to tweak the mindset of how we approach the rivalry. But I mean, obviously, you know, when push comes to shove, you know, it has to be reflective in the win
But
and
he
loss
never
column.
won.
Exactly. It needs to be reflected in the win and loss column, and it was.
He blew leads against Ohio State. He blew leads against Penn State. He blew leads against Michigan. Like,
Notre Dame.
oh my God, my senior year against Notre Dame, I had two sacks, multiple quarterback pressures, and we still lost. We were up to like 17. He
Yeah.
was horrible. But
Yeah.
they blame the players.
Unbelievable.
That's why I stayed away for years. I just started back going to games.
Well, you know, obviously, big game coming up this weekend. Hopefully,
Oh,
I
yeah.
see you around campus. I'll be up there. That's one of my two or three trips I'm making this year. So,
I'll be there Saturday. We have our tickets. Just you have my number. Shoot me a text. You know, we can have a orange juice.
yeah, sounds good to me. You know, those new kicks got to do breakfast food. Yeah, I'm good with
Yeah,
orange
we could have
juice.
an orange
But
juice or two, you know.
yeah, I'll definitely hit you up, man. But look, hey, we appreciate you coming on. Again, this former Michigan State defensive end.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
Thanks.
I'm very thankful that people still want to hear my input on my beloved program. But when I talk about the program, I get brutal honesty. I love my school. I love Mel. I want the best for Mel, you know, but this college football is a competitive business and talent wins. And right now, we don't have the talent to be a top four team, period.
No, and I mean that's the thing is you can look at it as, yeah, they were only supposed to win four games this year, they're overachieving, or you can look at it as, you know what, you still need to go out, you still need to compete, you still need to win.
We got
And
to go out and get the best talent. And I thank you, man. I thank you so much. Like, I had a great time. I hope that you enjoyed having me. It's been fun. Whenever you want to talk to me again, just give me a shout.
Yes, sir, and I will see you Saturday.
Yep.
But that does it for us here. Thank you again to Clifton Ryan for coming on. I'm Tyler Hayward. This is the Trouble with the Snap podcast.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. Go State.